While I was back on, we'll get started. If you would turn to Daniel chapter 1, we're going to read verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. It's good to have Angel here tonight. I know she's been taking care of JT. We're going to have a special altar of prayer at the end of the service tonight. We're going to bring Angel down and pray for JT. And then also, Malia goes back to Vanderbilt tomorrow. So we'll come and pray over her as well. And as they check her out tomorrow, we'll find out what's going on with the other side of her ear. And also find out about her hearing tomorrow. So let's be praying for her tonight as well. And so we'll do that at the end of the service. And Leroy, yes, Brother Leroy, is he here tonight? Did he make it? Okay, we'll do that next Sunday morning because he wants to be here for that. So Brother Leroy got some bad health news this week, and he's wanting to be here for us to have an altar of prayer for him. But be praying for him, and next time he's here, we will have an altar of prayer for him as well. If you would please stand in honor of God's word, if you're able, Daniel 1:8. Having a heart towards the things of God. And I hope this series will motivate you to be closer to the Lord and want to have a heart for Him. Daniel 1:8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night, God. I pray just for the next 20, 25 minutes. Everybody will be attentive, and then we pay attention to what you've got for us in your word. Lord, help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the spirit. Bind the hands of demonic forces tonight. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this sermon. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So we look at Daniel tonight when we continue our study on having a heart for God. If there's any person, any caricature in Scripture that had a heart for God, it was the prophet Daniel. He had a heart for God. So we can learn a lot of things about a heart for God from Daniel. First of all, Daniel had a purposeful heart. See, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to turn Daniel from a godly young man into a wicked, worldly person. That's what he wanted to do. He brought in the children of Israel. He even changed his name to Belshazzar, which means a worshiper of Baal. And listen, isn't that what the world's trying to do to us today? They're trying to get our kids, they're trying to get them away from God, turn them into a worldly mindset, turn them to where they don't even believe in God, don't care about the things of God. That's what the world's still trying to do today, amen?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." See, he wanted Daniel to become somebody that cared nothing for the things of God. Changed everything about him. But times haven't changed, have they? We've got our government, we've got our schools, we've got our politicians, everyone today, Freedom From Religion Foundation, everyone's trying to tear God out of our society. So there's nothing new under the sun. Here's the truth. Listen, Satan wants to change our name, our religion, our friends, and our associations. He would love to take a fiery Christian and destroy them. That's what he likes to do. He likes to take fiery Christians, people that are saved, people that are on fire for God, and he wants to destroy their lives to where they're useless for the Lord. Luke 22:31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Listen, after you're saved, the devil cannot have your soul. He cannot take you to hell with him. So he's going to do everything in his power, Miss Hunt, everything in his power to sideline you and make sure you do nothing for God and win nobody else to the Lord. That's what he's going to do. Amen? Now listen, notice that Daniel was a teenager at this time. Most scholars teach that he was a teenager, and I want to tell you something. He did not give in to what the world was telling him he had to do. He stood alone and stood for Jesus. Amen? And listen, folks, you can too. Teenagers, you can stand for Christ, and you can be a light in your schools and a light in your community. You don't have to cave in to what the world's telling you you need to do. Amen?
Amen.
You don't. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." What that's talking about there is somebody that's presenting sin to you, and they're saying, eat, drink, be merry, have a good time, but their heart's not with you. That means they know it's going to hurt you. They give you those drugs, they say, "Oh, have a good time. Here, take this, it'll do you good. Here, take some meth. Drink some alcohol. Do some cocaine. Do some heroin." You know what? And before long, your life is ruined. Your life is ruined.
Amen.
But they don't tell you what happens in verse 8. It says, "The morsel which thou hast eaten, shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words." They just want to tell you what happens in verse 7. Eat, be merry, have a good time. But they don't want to tell you what the repercussions are for those actions. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, Daniel's convictions were in his heart. See, Daniel was a Jew. He had dietary laws that he had to abide by. And they were telling him, you've got to eat a portion of the king's meat. You've got to eat what we say. Right? Today it's the same way. They say, you've got to believe what we believe. Hey, you're old-fashioned. Hey, you're intolerant. You got to believe what we're telling you to believe, and we're going to shove it down your throat. If you don't accept it, we're going to make you accept it, right? Same thing was going on during Daniel's day. Same thing. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, folks, we're not to conform to culture. We're to conform to the Word of God. Culture changes. Society changes. Opinions change, amen? They keep showing all these polls. Well, 57% believe this. 65% believe that. Who cares what they believe? It doesn't matter if it conflicts with this book. It doesn't matter if 99.9% of them believe it, amen? It's wrong if it goes against this book, amen?
That's right.
Listen, James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the world, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Listen, many of us, if you take your Bibles, they're marked, aren't they? You take my Bible, it's marked. We've got highlights, we've got lines, we've got notes. But you know, many of us mark our Bibles, but we don't allow the Bible to mark us. Right? Listen, folks, we need the Bible to mark us. It's okay. Hey, listen, it's great to make notes. It's great to study. Like Brother David was talking about this morning in Sunday school lesson, it's good to read some commentaries. You got to be careful with some of them. It's good to read commentaries. But listen, folks, just doing that, we need to allow time for the Bible to change us.
Amen.
As we're doing those things, amen, we do. 1 John 2:3 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And that leads me to believe and wonder how many Christians truly know Him. Because if you know Him, the Bible says you're going to keep His commandments. So why is it so many church people, so many church people don't hold to His commandments? It might be because we have a lot of church people who don't know the Lord, amen. Now listen, Daniel also, his convictions were expressed. They were expressed. Daniel 1:8 said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He said, I'm not going to do it. And he expressed it. And listen, if you have true convictions, they will come out. They're going to come out. I know many people start new jobs. They go, I'm not going to lose my job. I'm not going to make people upset with me. I'm not going to talk about Jesus, say I'm a Christian, whatever. And after 2 or 3 days, they're hearing all this stuff and hearing people cuss and blaspheme and all that. And all of a sudden, it comes out. Right?
Right.
Or they pray over their meal. Listen, we find in Psalm 39:1, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. He said, I'm not going to say anything even if it's good. Now look, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. See, Daniel had the courage to speak his convictions. But many Christians have the truth in their hearts and never say a word. Listen, folks, Christians today will not take the stand that Daniel did. Daniel didn't back down. He had everybody on him. Everybody looking against him, saying, why aren't you eating this? Why aren't you doing that? You should do this. You should do that. He had capital punishment looking him in the eye, saying, we're going to cast you into the den of lions. But he didn't recant. And listen, all it takes today is for one person to just come up to a Christian and say, why'd you do that? And they back down. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, right? Listen, folks, we need to take a stand as Christians. Listen, the reason our society's in the shape it's in is because Christians continue to step back and allow society to push us around. Listen, folks, nowhere in Scripture does the Bible teach that we're to be doormats.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that we're terrorists like these crazy people out there. The Bible doesn't tell us to go blow up people. Doesn't tell us to kill people, right? It tells us to love people and to tell people the truth in love. But the Bible also teaches that we are to stand firm on God's Word and not budge.
Amen.
Don't budge, amen. You don't have to back up. What we need is this. Haggai 1:7 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We need more, thus saith the Lord, instead of thus saith society. Right?
Amen.
We need to get back to it. Thus saith the Lord. And people can laugh at that. People can ridicule that. But I will tell you, our country was a much better country when we had people that feared God and believed in thus saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Much better. Now listen, Daniel had a proving heart. Daniel 1:9 says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Did you notice that? Daniel was respected. I want you to understand this. You can take a stand for Jesus without being a jerk. Or about being rude.
That's right.
Or without being hateful. And Daniel did that. Daniel didn't budge. But you know what? That prince of the eunuchs, his job was to keep Daniel healthy. That's what his job was. The prince's job was to keep Daniel healthy. And if he didn't keep him healthy, guess what? He would lose his life. And so Brother Plymouth, he so respected Daniel that he was willing to stick his neck out and say, okay, Daniel, I see your life. I see that your words back up your life. I see your actions back up your life. Everything backs up what you tell me. I'm going to trust in your God to keep you healthy. And guess what God did? God did. God kept him healthy. Amen?
Amen?
So he made a proposal. He made a deal. You find in Daniel 1:11-15. He said, give us 10 days. Give us 10 days and see if we're not more healthy than what your king's doing with his diet. 10 days. And Daniel stood on his convictions and trusted God with the consequences. See, he didn't worry about missing out on some fun, missing out on a promotion, missing out on whatever it was. He didn't care what he missed out on, as the world would see it. He said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to allow the God of my God, he's going to allow him to deal with the consequences. He wasn't worried about it, amen. He stood firm. Now listen, also, Daniel had a preserving heart. He wanted to be right with God on a permanent basis. He didn't want temporary pleasure. He didn't want to compromise what he believed in for a temporary satisfaction. He didn't want to do that. Daniel 10:12 says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. Now notice Daniel 10:12, he says, I heard thee from the day that thou prayed, Daniel, God talking to him. Notice this right here is 33 years later from Daniel chapter 1. That means that God heard his prayer as a teenager, and all those years passed, and then God answered him 33 years later. Listen, folks, that should tell you don't give up on God just because he doesn't answer you immediately.
Amen.
It may be years before God answers that prayer. That lost loved one you're praying for, it may be years before you see him saved, right?
Amen.
It may be years before maybe God touches your body or whatever it may be. You've just got to trust in him.
Amen.
I want you to notice also that Daniel was faithful until the end. Daniel 12:13. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of the day. Listen, Daniel was given many prophecies, and he was told, you won't see these come to pass, Daniel. Daniel saw these things. He said, Daniel, you're not going to see these come to pass. But guess what? He didn't quit. He didn't quit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't quit because they were going to be thrown in the fire. Daniel didn't quit because they said, hey, don't be praying. Hey, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. He didn't quit. He kept going for Jesus Christ. And listen, folks, no matter what this world throws at us, we can't quit. We got to keep going for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Keep moving forward for him. Acts 1:11 says, which also said ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing upon the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Listen, too many Christians are standing gazing instead of working for him. I mean, the angels there, look at what they're doing. They're sitting there, and the Christians are standing there, and the apostles and all the people are standing around going, and watching him go, and just standing there. Just standing there. And the angels had to rebuke them and said, hey guys, hello. Did he not tell you to go out? Preach the gospel? Right? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Did he not tell you this? Get to work. Let's go. Come on. Right?
Amen.
And listen, I'm not telling you not to be looking for Jesus. The Bible commands us to be looking for Jesus, all right? But he doesn't mean that's all you do, right? Every morning when you wake up, look for him, but get busy for the Lord, right? Don't stay engaged. Brother Daniel, you can get a song ready, brother, Sister Sheila, Brother Harold. I'm going to end with this. Listen, General Wainwright, he was captured by the Japanese during the war. And Gerald Wainwright was discouraged. He was depressed. He was down. Didn't care. He was ready to die. Cared nothing about anything. And word got to him through secret notes, secret communication, that soon General MacArthur was going to be coming through. He was going to be coming through, and he was going to be relieving them and saving them. And the Japanese soldiers couldn't figure out why Wainwright started polishing his buttons, polishing his shoes. All of a sudden, there was a different countenance. You know why? Because he knew that he was coming back to get him. Listen, folks, that's the way we should be about Jesus. This world gets us down. This world beats us down. This world gets us where we're depressed and we don't want to go on. But guess what? We know that Jesus is coming back, and that's why we keep ourselves holy. That's why we keep ourselves polished. That's why we keep our shoes shined, spiritual shoes shined. Amen. It's because we know Jesus is coming back soon. Amen. Amen. And when he comes back soon, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to meet him. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing if you're able. Maybe here tonight you say, Brother Jeff, I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior. I don't know how else to say it other than Jesus died for you. He cares for you. But if you continue to reject him, one day you're going to take your last breath, and the place you're going to be taken at that point in time is a place called hell. Jesus spoke more about hell in Scripture than he did about heaven. Hell is a real place. But Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want you to go to that place called hell. What are you holding on to that's so important that you're willing to dangle your life by a string over hell, just waiting to take that last breath? What is it that's so important? Turn your life over to Christ. Say no to whatever it is that's holding you back, and say, I'm going to say yes to Jesus tonight. He's given you multiple times, time and time again. Will you not say yes tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Jeff, I'm a Christian, but I do not have a heart for God. I don't have a heart fixed on God. I need to get back fixed on the Lord. If that's you, you come down tonight as they sing one verse, Brother Daniel, one verse.